I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the race for the Democratic nomination for the 35th Congressional District of Texas has become one of the most closely watched runoffs in the state. The newly redrawn district includes parts of San Antonio, along with Wilson, Guadalupe, and Karnes counties. Candidates include Bexar County Sheriff's Deputy Johnny Garcia and housing activist Maureen Galindo, who are offering voters two very different choices. Garcia says he's all about old-school Democratic values. Galindo is a modern progressive who calls herself a participatory Democrat. The winner of the May 26th runoff will face the winner of the Republican runoff, State Representative John Lujan and Trump-endorsed Carlos de la Cruz. Both declined to come on The Source. But Garcia and Galindo are here, and they will take listener questions. You can call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Last year's redistricting rejiggered the 35th Congressional District, moving it away from Austin-facing and redrawing it to include south-southeast Bexar County, Guadalupe, Wilson, and Karnes counties. The Democratic incumbent, Representative Greg Kassar, he is now seeking re-election in an Austin district that makes the new TX-35 an open seat. But it was drawn in a way that gives Republican candidates an advantage, a better chance of winning. There are two competitive runoffs for the big party nomination. On the Republican side, State Representative John Lujan is facing President Trump's endorsed candidate, Carlos de la Cruz. Both declined to come on to The Source. But for the Democrats, the May 26th runoff is between housing activist Maureen Galindo and Bexar County Sheriff's Deputy Johnny Garcia. Both will be with us today. First, we're going to be hearing from Garcia in the second half hour. We're going to be joined by Galindo. You get to ask the candidates your questions. You can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Johnny Garcia, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. So, Johnny, introduce yourself to the voters who don't know you yet.
Yes, sir. So, you know, born and raised here in San Antonio my whole life. Grew up on the west side of San Antonio, graduated from Memorial High School, one of the most underfunded and marginalized school districts in America.
Go Minutemen?
Go Minutemen, exactly. Yeah, yeah. coming out of high school, worked construction and plumbing, digging trenches by hand, installing PVC pipes and plumbing in newly construction built homes, and was going to school at St. Phillips and needed to keep the lights on, joined the sheriff's office at 21 as early as you could at that time, working in jail, served as a SWAT hostage negotiator after serving my time in the jail. Then on a fateful afternoon, Sheriff Salazar wanted to ride out with me, and he figured out I had all this experience in public relations for law enforcement, and that pretty much changed the trajectory of my career. It has allowed me to understand the importance of accountability and transparency. As we know, in this administration, it lacks every bit of accountability and transparency, but also it's also taught me how important it is to put people before politics, making sure that we treat people's issues first and foremost rather than our own political agenda. And as you mentioned, Congressman Greg Kassar held this seat. He was redrawn out of it in the redistricting battle here in Texas out of the five seats. And thankfully, I just received his endorsement. But early on in this campaign, he taught me, look, Johnny, the people that don't succeed in Congress are the people that go up there saying, I'm going to accomplish X, Y, and Z. The way you succeed in Congress is by making sure that you are keeping your ear to the ground to the issues that are affecting the people, and you take those issues with you to Congress. And that's what we're doing, as we're seeing affordability just escape from the everyday Texan that are being affected by everyday costs.
Typically, Johnny, we would try to just focus on like the issues, and we're going to get to the issues.
Yeah.
But I really have to address and ask you about a story that's out there.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people are talking about it. and comments that your opponent, Maureen Galindo, has made about you and the funding of your campaign. And I just want to get things on the record about what is true, is not true, and put things in context. And Galindo is going to be with us in the second half hour, and we'll probably hear more from her on these things as well. So first off, she has attacked you saying that your campaign is being funded by AIPAC, is American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and their public spending. So what is your relationship with AIPAC, and how does that work out?
I think she's drawing these baseless claims from the group called AIPAC Tracker that put us on that website after receiving the endorsement of the Democratic Majority for Israel, which is a Democratic group that supports Democratic candidates. And it appears if you end up on AIPAC Tracker, you're pretty much blacklisted, and you're included amongst all these other groups that support or identify candidates that have received endorsements, such as DMFI. We haven't taken any money from AIPAC. My issues are making sure that our community stays safe, that we combat anti-Semitic remarks that we've seen my opponent make. I've spoken with the Jewish community here in San Antonio that says, Johnny, the majority of Jews here in San Antonio, they have Democratic values. They vote Democrat. But when we see anti-Semitic remarks such as that are coming from your opponent, it hurts people. It gets people to sit out of elections and lose faith in the Democratic Party. And my reassurance to them was this. I said, look, I understand how bad we lost here in 2024. We saw people leaving our party in droves. This is a real election that literally hangs in the balance of whether we save America or we don't, and we continue heading in the direction that we're heading in. And my focus right now is making sure that we're building our party up, we're strengthening and unifying our party, not tearing it down. And what we're seeing by our opponent in these comments, it's hurtful, and it does nothing good for our Democratic Party.
Also, comments that you received a lot of money from Congressman Henry Cuellar for your campaign. Congressman Cuellar is well known as he's a Democrat, but he's also a conservative in many ways. What is your relationship with Congressman Cuellar, and have you received, what's the number that's out there? $30,000?
Yeah, it's 300 I've received from Congressman Henry Cuellar. And when we spoke the other day, we both laughed it off, just how crazy that claim was, because it's incorrect, it's false, and it's a lie. We are both a part of the Blue Dog Coalition, which is a coalition that understands how to win districts such as this, districts that were drawn to favor Donald Trump and Greg Abbott, to favor the Republican Party. Members of that of this coalition also include Vicente Gonzalez, who's a very strong Democrat in South Texas. Another strong member is Bobby Pulido, who is been the voice of our culture here in South Texas, of part of Tejano culture. The Blue Dogs understand that it's going to take some new blood to bring and breathe new life into this party, especially here in Texas with all the circumstances that we face. I'm a clear indication that we're able to build a broad coalition as we receive endorsements from our liberal party, such as Congressman Gary Crisar. But we're also able to consolidate lanes of our Democratic Party when we're able to bring together our moderates as well. And it's going to take this type of coalition to ultimately win this race. So, again, those are lies, it's false, and it's incorrect.
We're taking a break. Our phone lines are open. If you have a question for candidate Johnny Garcia, he is in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for the 35th Congressional District. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The runoff day is Tuesday, May 26th. Early voting begins on Monday, that is May 18th. It runs through Friday, May 22nd. In the second half hour, we will be joined by Maureen Galindo. She is the other candidate in this runoff race, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us in the studio, Bexar County Sheriff's Deputy Johnny Garcia. He is a candidate in the runoff for the 35th Congressional District. His opponent is Maureen Galindo, and we'll be having her on the air in the second half hour. Well, now that we have, I think that business is done, unless
yes,
callers want to address that. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's talk about what you are running on.
Yep.
I looked at your issues on your website. The top of the list is lower cost by ending the Trump tariffs.
Yeah.
So what is happening in that area? Is this something that you're hearing about from voters? What could you do if you're elected to Congress?
You know, we have seen this administration subvert congressional authority by using his emergency powers to force upon these tariffs that are impacting 97% of businesses, small businesses, and working class families. We were just talking in the break earlier about families not being able to go to HEB to buy their groceries. I say it very passionately, especially trying to communicate this message outside of Texas for people that don't know how important HEB is to us here. I say HEB has some of the best tortillas, in my opinion, especially the butter ones. But
not as good as your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's get that straight. I don't want to cause a family feud.
She may say the convenience of HEB tortillas are a whole lot better, but nevertheless, families just aren't able to make the same grocery run with the wages that they're bringing home to HEB. Families are having to fork out more to be able to afford to pay their CPS and SALS bills. But I say here in South Central Texas, families aren't able to make it to Sunday to buy barbacoa and Big Red. As we know, that is a family staple. And it just goes to show that affordability is becoming the most pressing issue here in our party. And this is where we're focused on right now, amongst many other things. When we're talking about affordable health care, I spoke to a resident in Oakwell Farms the other day, and he pulled me to the side after a forum, and he said, Johnny, this affordability crisis with health care, the affordability, the ACA impacted me tremendously. I went from paying $75 a month for my COPD medication that I was using to fight cancer, shoot up to $200. And he said, I'm paying anywhere from $700 a month on my medications, and to now have to potentially pay $900. He said, I had to discontinue that medication. We're hearing stories like this all across this district, such as our folks in Guadalupe County, Davila's Barbecue, that tell me we're not seeing the same amount of customers walk through the through these doors that were before this administration came into office, before the price of beef skyrocketed as well. And it's a ripple effect. Down the street, we aren't too far from Chicho Boys, which is a community staple that we know sell probably the best fruit cups during the summer, and it gets hot. And they said the same thing when SNAP benefits lapsed. The same amount of people were no longer coming through their doors. The price of fruits and vegetables have gone up, and it's affecting small businesses. It's affecting working class families, and it's why these have to be our issues, not attacking some of our vulnerable communities in this district. And it's why we have to win this election and put forth the best candidate that's going to give us the best opportunity to win in November.
Talk about why you have stopped lawmakers from trading stocks. Why is that one of your issues?
You know, when we were talking about accountability and transparency, my time spent at the sheriff's office, I learned intimately when you hold yourself, your agency accountable, when you communicate the good that you do equally with the bad that you do, your community loves you for it. And you're able to remain trustworthy. And with what we're seeing in Congress, I believe there was a photo snapped of a member of Congress literally trading stocks on the floor. It goes to show that that has no place in our democracy, in our politics, especially from our politicians. It erodes the trust that we're ultimately working so hard to gain in order to be a strong member of Congress. And I think there's so much facts as far as just the fraudulent schemes that are brought upon it, and how you're able to use your position for insider information. It has no place in our congressional body, and it's why we need to make sure that we're calling for accountability on that and ultimately standing up to fight against it.
So you're a law enforcement officer. You currently are employed by the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. Can you talk about how being a law enforcement officer, being working in a jail, being a deputy, and also as a public, you know, you've seen it all because you are a spokesperson for the Sheriff's Office. You're at many of these most high-profile, horrific events. How does that inform you, and how would that inform you as a candidate for Congress?
On so many levels, it goes to show how we need to make sure we're providing the adequate funding for our public safety. We don't have the luxury to lose in law enforcement, is what I tell folks in this district from my experience. When we lose in law enforcement, people die. And it goes to show that public safety is one of the most important issues, especially here in San Antonio. I've seen how victims of domestic violence have prolonged issues that maybe have gotten ignored previously, and why we need to continue communicating with members of our community when they experience domestic violence. We know that it continues to escalate, and it goes to show how law enforcement needs the resources to communicate that message overs and overs in our community, to also provide resources to our places here in San Antonio, that like the women battered shelter, how we need to make sure that these places remain funded. I've seen also how the impacts of human trafficking and human smuggling have impacted San Antonio. And it goes to show that when law enforcement is able to root out and combat these particular issues, we as a community remain safe. And thankfully, members of Congress are very excited to see that a Democrat deputy sheriff is stepping into this race to bring a different mentality with us to Congress that will add a very important voice to our party up in Congress to provide this insight of how to hold our federal law enforcement as well accountable and transparent.
The Trump administration is using the language of law enforcement, law and order, public safety. These are the words that they use when they talk about why they're doing things like the mass deportation and ICE crackdowns. What is your position on ICE? Would you want to ban ICE, reform ICE? Where are you in ICE?
I know there's a growing sentiment against that particular organization. And the conversations I have with our members of Congress as well is, people care deeply about public safety here in Texas. We also know that the Biden administration got it wrong on the border, and it's what drove people away from our party. They wanted strong border security. They didn't want an agency attacking our construction sites, our panaderias, as we saw just in Alamo Heights, school pickup lines at a bus stop. People wanted strong border security. They didn't want this attack on our community. It just sows fear and further divide. That's not what we need. ICE has a particular job, making sure that they're stopping the flow of illegal drugs coming into our communities, making sure that cartels are not operating inside of our borders, but also to stop the flow of illegal human smuggling and trafficking. That's the job they should be doing. We know that if we abolish ICE and eliminate, there's going to be a significant gap in public safety that our local law enforcement don't have the resources to dedicate for. That's the job that they need to be doing, not attacking innocent civilians who are just expressing their God-given
Well, they're
right.
Not civilians. That's the issue.
In Minnesota, they were.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like good and pretty.
Yes. They don't need to be attacking innocent civilians in Minnesota. They need to be combating actual bad actors, removing them from our community. That's the job that they should be doing.
So we're having a lot of interest in these data centers.
Yes, sir.
They're popping up. They're using a lot of water, a lot of electricity. There's concern about how they're, water is scarce in Texas these days, and electricity is getting more expensive. What can be done as a congressperson about that?
You know, this is a growing issue in Guadalupe County, and it's what I've now called a three-prong issue, where on one side, you know, I've received all the endorsements from our labor unions as a result of working my construction and plumbing background. I understand what good-paying jobs do for our hardworking folks. But also, residents in Guadalupe County don't want to foot the bill that they're going to be forced to pay by data centers that aren't being held accountable. And then from our AI data industry, there's certain things that are common sense for us, making sure that we're not losing and we're not falling behind China, that are trying to compete in technology and building chips. We need to make sure that we're holding these AI data centers accountable and that our information remains protected. But at the same time, we know that these data centers are providing good paying jobs. So what's the solution? We need to make sure that the bill isn't being placed upon those that live in this community. We need to make sure that they have a solution, whether that's by providing energy and recycling water, especially here in Texas, as we're facing a water crisis in Corpus Christi. We don't have the luxury to just allow a company to come in and overuse water that we are already stricken with as well.
So you're in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for the 35th Congressional District. Democratic voters who will show up for the runoff tend to be the people who are really, you know, deep in the party, and they're looking for candidates who are going to fight the current administration.
Yes, sir.
So when they say, Johnny, are you going to fight for us? Are you going to fight against the Trump administration? How do you respond to them, and how would you do that?
I tell them a story that I was in Karnes County, Texas, talking to a constable that I was pretty sure he was 99% Republican, but I went up to go introduce myself to him and I said, my name's Johnny Garcia. I'm a sheriff's deputy in Bexar County and I'm running for Congress in your district. And with my belief, I was right. He said, you work for Javier, don't you? I'm sorry about that. I said, you don't have to be. We're cops just like anybody else. We're allowed to do our job and we do it effectively. I guess he didn't like that answer. So I went off, waited for the parade route, and he wanted to come over and have a full-on debate on the side of the road. You know, what's your stance on abortion? What's your stance on why DA Gonzalez is prosecuting all these cops? Yada, 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 yada. Not knowing he was debating a Democrat deputy sheriff who was a SWAT hostage negotiator. And we know seconds in radio is a lifetime, but in negotiations, we call it an effective pause. And after hitting him on all the issues, I let that effective pause sit in. I turned over to him and I said, hey, when we're in law enforcement, when we're responding to calls for service, we don't ask dispatch whether that home we're headed to is Democratic or Republican. And he cut me off and he said, you're right. We just respond. And I said, well, man, look at you sounding like a Democrat. I ain't no Democrat. I'm MAGA all the way through, man. And I turned over to the ladies and I said, hey, folks, I think we got one. I said, if I know my people better than anybody else, law enforcement, I know we're convincible. We may be a little bit harder to convince, but we're convincible. And it's this mentality that I'm bringing, making sure that we're putting people before politics, that regardless of party affiliation, we're going to serve you with the best intentions in mind. This race is clearly an indication that this is bigger than me. The Democratic Party has already shown that we can outvote the Republicans in this district, as we just did on March 3rd by over 8,000 votes in a district that they redrew for themselves. But they weren't anticipating, I'll use the correct word, angering a Democrat deputy sheriff to step into this race and say, I'm not going to let this happen on my watch. And it's why it's so important. We need to win as Democrats.
Johnny Garcia, he is the candidate running in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for the 35th Congressional District. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by his opponent, Maureen Galindo, also running for that nomination. And that would be in the 35th Congressional District. That is the south and the eastern part of Bexar County, also Guadalupe County, Karnes County, and Wilson County. It'll be on Tuesday, May 26th. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our discussion with the two runoff candidates for the Democratic nomination for Texas Congressional District 35. This is a redrawn district. It used to be between San Antonio and Austin, up and down I-35. Now the district covers south and eastern Bexar County, Guadalupe, Wilson, and Karnes County. The first half hour, we heard from a candidate, Bexar County Sheriff's Deputy Johnny Garcia, and now we have the other candidate, Maureen Galindo, with us, and you can call in with your questions, 833-877-8255. And Maureen Galindo, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Tell us about yourself. How did you come to become a candidate?
Okay, so background, I grew up in a suburb of Philadelphia, working class, three generations of labor union workers and organizers. At 19 years old, I moved to Texas. Graduated from UTSA, spent 4 years as an Army wife. Sorry, there's like a background in this. Is that normal?
It's just normal, yeah.
Okay. Moved to Portland, Oregon. And at that time, everything was getting super expensive. I got a really high rent increase, and we just kind of couldn't make it anymore. I became a single mom and decided to move back to San Antonio specifically because I knew that there would be affordable housing. I got here and I moved into Soapworks Apartments. Are you familiar with those down the street from
here? Right down
the
street. There used to be one there.
Yep. So I got into there. It was my first apartment with three kiddos. Best moment of my life, being able to have that apartment, and then immediately found out we'd all be getting displaced. So did tenant union organizing, started just talking to my neighbors. We started making big deal in the city. It really brought a lot of attention to what gentrification looks like in San Antonio, as well as came out with this rent relief program that I forced my way into in the city of San Antonio so that I could oversee that rent relief distribution with other people, community members who could make sense of the data so that we could understand what was going on. Since then, I've just been obsessed with figuring out why is everything getting so expensive, which ultimately comes down to everything getting taken advantage of by the millionaires and billionaires and our city, our governments wanting this inflation because it increases their tax revenue, specifically the property tax revenue, and they have larger budgets to work with because they can go into even higher debt based off of this future budget of more tax revenue. And so just bringing awareness to this idea that housing just needs to be solved with more supply, when in reality, San Antonio has the most empty units in the entire country, and yet we just continue to say, just build, build, build. It's not working, and it's actually making everything way more expensive. It's inflating the land value underneath all of this development, which is causing us all to get displaced because we just don't have the wages to keep up.
So when we talk about the issues that you have on your website and the things that you wanted to take on if elected to Congress, but I do have to address some of the ink that's been spilled about you over the past couple of days. There was an opinion piece by Michelle Goldberg in the New York Times titled, "Democrats Can't Let This Anti-Semitic Sex Therapist Win Her Runoff," made allegations about you saying that you were spreading anti-Semitic tropes and things. Can you just talk about that?
Well, first off, the New York Times also put out an article on Johnny Garcia in the beginning of the campaign. So very clearly, the DC operatives that are controlling his campaign were in on this, too. I'm not anti-Semitic. In fact, my last serious relationship was with a Jewish man. Not a big deal to me at all. I am against Zionist Jews. When I said that the Jews who own Hollywood are doing this, do all Jews own Hollywood? Yeah, no. The Zionist Jews do. The Zionists own our media, our banks, and all of our politicians. including San Antonio, and there's plenty of evidence for that. There's plenty of evidence for everything that I'm saying inside of the Epstein files. Trafficking is a huge deal in San Antonio and South Texas, maybe the worst in the entire country. And we have Israeli Zionists who are influencing our local politics and our South Texas politics. Do you know that ICE trains with the IDF in Israel? And do you know what the IDF does to Palestinians? I don't understand how I'm the anti-Semitic one. When do you know what the Semites are? Semites are indigenous people to the Middle East and Northern Africa regions. Zionists are European colonizers to Israel. They are the anti-Semites. They are killing Semites every single day right now. And then they want to call me the anti-Semitic? That's hypocritical. That this gets outrage and sensationalized, I think they are this media, all this media blitz campaign, who is also owned by billionaires and Zionist billionaires, that they are making all of this outrage, but not about all of the killings and the genocide that the Zionists are doing is outrageous to me.
All right, and I just want to give you a fair opportunity to respond and give your reaction to it. So that's what this is all about. All right. Also, they talked about how that you were getting help from a PAC called Lead Left, which provided you money, $43,000 from on mailers. And they said that this was actually a Republican organization out of Florida trying to boost your campaign. Can you address that?
I have absolutely no idea about dark money. I didn't know it was a thing. Like I said, Johnny has his DC operatives doing his thing. It's mostly just me and my friends running my campaign. I don't know what any outside money is. And then when they say that it's Republican, maybe, maybe not. I have no idea. I don't trust the media, honestly, with anything for how they report things, how they twist things. And obviously, as we've seen these past week, several days, they'll go to really great lengths to try to twist people's perception. And honestly, people are sick of it.
Well, I'm just trying to give you an opportunity to respond to these things. And so you're saying also in the Express News story that has picked up on this, that people like Latino men have a colonizer mentality. What does that mean?
Oh, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I was just thinking about that with when I was listening to Johnny Garcia here, too. How sad that is to me, that ICE is so primarily made up of Hispanic men. That in San Antonio, we have one of the highest domestic violence rates in the entire country, the highest in Texas. I think that that's not insignificant to the way that women are treated in San Antonio. And if we want to go back, it's not Hispanic, right? It's indigenous, and the indigenous were colonized. And so I think that there's this confusion with Hispanic men sometimes. And I've been wanting to say this, and it's not that I do not have anything. My ex-husband is Hispanic. My son is Hispanic. I have a lot of love for Hispanic men, especially the ones who are super supportive. But there's also a lot of them who are oppressing their families, all of the women and children in their life. And we see that too. Every single time that I post about Project Marvel or billionaire Graham Weston, millionaire Peter J. Holt, you can go to the comments. It is 90% Hispanic men going, hell yeah, take my money, take my tax money. Good businessman, really smart businessman. I think that there is this colonized mindset where they think that they could have access to it too. They just want to be the one on power because they have spent so long being powerless. And so then who do they put that on is the women and children. And again, San Antonio has the highest domestic violence rate in the entire state of Texas. That's a big problem. I want us to address this.
So when you're out campaigning and talking to voters, is this what you, part of the things that you tell people? How do they respond to this? Are they open to this? Do they
Well, I have all types of conversations. So the whole point of my like model of democracy is not representative democracy where, all right, now I'm going to go speak for all of you.
Right. Participatory it's democracy.
Participatory democracy. How do we get everybody involved? How do we have the conversations? So people have really enjoyed our meet and greets where it's literally us talking about all of the issues, me listening to them. I've tried for so long to bring politicians to the table with people most impacted by things, and I prep them. And I'm like, you know, you're just there to listen. You're there to have the conversations about what the solutions are, what they're going through. And then they just knee-jerk right back into speaking to them, giving them this polished speech. And that's not how democracy should be. We should be listening. And so if these kind of conversations come up, then yes, we do have these conversations. I'm very much like I just kind of follow what the flow is, what people are interested in, and we'll go from there. And then I get to carry those stories and those ideas with me into the political realm.
So, but, you know, these stories that have been written about you, they're capitalizing on these comments that you're making, and they're presenting you as this is a disqualifying opinion.
I think that my support would show otherwise, and we'll find out on May 26th. That's democracy, right?
Right. So that's why I was interested. It's like when you talk to voters and you tell them these things about IDF, and I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of people are very, you know, very upset about what's happening with that, mm-hmm. and they respond to you on that. And if they're informed of what is happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you go to like my social medias, that's what like I get hate every single day, like really horrible hate. This whole them trying to make me out to be anti-Semitic for being anti-Zionist, I have gotten the least amount of hate for. I have gotten the most amount of support for. I've gotten even more support for. And it's not because anybody is anti-Semitic. Nobody has anything against all Jews. Or actually, no, let me take that back. Some people do. And I delete those comments. I'll call it out. I always say, no, it's not all the Jews. Because the Zionists want us to blame all of the Jews. They want us to scapegoat the Jews. That's not it. And so I'm always very clear about that. But for the most part, everybody is super supportive of my stand. And we see that. 80% of Democrats don't want anything to do with Israel anymore. So that's pretty wild that we would support someone who works with them.
All right, so we got to take a break here. It's a 1 minute break, and we're going to be right back. And our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Speaking with Maureen Galindo, seeking the Democratic nomination for the Texas 35th Congressional District. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. The Democrats are having a runoff to see who will be their banner carrier for the 35th Congressional District. And early voting begins on Monday. That will be on May 18th. And then it goes till Friday, May 22nd. Tuesday is runoff election day, the 26th. The 35th is having two congressional runoffs. The Republicans are having one, and that is with State Representative John Lujan and Trump-endorsed Carlos de la Cruz. We heard in the first half hour from Johnny Garcia. He is seeking the Democratic nomination for the Democratic nomination, and now we're speaking with Maureen Galindo, and she is also seeking the Democratic nomination. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. So one thing I've noticed that you and Johnny differ on is that you want to completely abolish ICE. So talk mm-hmm. about that.
I think that we can go back to the colonization piece with that too, right? Is that colonization is a very violent takeover of a land and of the people and the ability to put them into prison such that the missions were essentially. And so this is just ICE is a continuation of that process. I think that if ICE is not eradicated completely, then what we're setting ourselves up for is an AI surveillance prison state. Right? So if you want to criticize Israel, you get thrown into that warehouse on the east side. We might not have any water in 20 years. So if you want to complain about it to the government, to the warehouse on the east side. I just saw a news article today about Israel is making this contract with all these churches in America to take over their data. What about the data? So ICE is, again, part of DHS, which has headquarters and offices inside of Israel. This is an Israeli occupation of America. That sounds crazy to say on CPR, but that's not crazy for so many people who are just kind of sick of hearing the mainstream media not cover this kind of stuff. In fact, I was thinking this morning, maybe Johnny Garcia and others who support him or anybody who is supported by Israel should be tried for treason.
So that's...
I mean, are they aiding Israel? Are they giving them our tax money?
Okay, he's not here to answer to that. And, you know, I think he was respectful in talking about you in the first half.
Yeah, I'm just really concerned, though, about the genocide that Israel is doing and that they might try to bring it here, too. So I think that that's kind of fair to wonder if we should be aiding that with our tax money. What might harm us? Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Giving them material resources, the war resources, to harm us. And we live in San Antonio, Texas. Remember why D.C. operatives and Israeli operatives want the Congress people in San Antonio and South Texas so much.
All right. I do have a caller here. Let's go to Melissa. Melissa, you're on the air with Maureen Galindo.
Hey, good afternoon. My question is for Maureen. Maureen, if you didn't vote in the last two elections, how are you expecting voters to come out, and how do you feel now about how your vote was not casted? You claim, and you also claim that you didn't know about Republican money being funded, but, you know, given the opportunity to comment on these claims multiple times, how did you not know about that? So it's kind of like a two-part question about your voting stance, previous voting stance.
All right, Melissa, we have the question. Thank you so much.
Sure, Melissa, thanks. I don't know how to answer that. I didn't know about the Republican money.
Well, she asked about your voting record. Did you not vote in the last presidential election? Or I'm not sure what she's asking about. But
yeah, no, I didn't. And I think that this is democracy, and that's my option. I did not feel represented by anybody. That's why I started running campaigns, is because every time that I did vote, the person that I wanted didn't win. We don't feel represented. You know, ever since Citizens United passed in 2010, there's been a drastic, steep incline on the amount of money that billionaires have been able to donate into politics. At that same time, same steep incline of how much richer billionaires have gotten. That's in the past 15 years. So it's pretty sad to have to be forced to go vote for somebody who's going to keep funding these billionaires, who's going to keep funding Israel to commit genocide potentially on us one day. That's hard to do. And I don't think that it's right for people to shame others, anybody. I know that there's a huge conversation. I see this all of the time on social media between the Democrats. And I think that that's just a way to keep us separated. You guys, just if you feel like you want to vote, go vote. Stop shaming everybody. At that, though, I have had so many people tell me that they haven't voted in so long and they're going to go vote for me. They have never voted before and they're going to go vote for me. So it is my biggest pride that I am inspired. Hiring people to go vote. I worked hard to be the type of candidate that people would be proud to go vote for, and I have become that.
Let's go to Frank on the phones. And Frank, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. My question is related to what the candidate is going to do with the economy. Gas is up, food is up, and all I'm hearing is kind of racial issues. And for me and my neighbors, that's not what's important. It's about feeding my family. So what's the candidate going to do to talk about those issues?
All right, Frank, thank you for the question. Maureen, affordability.
Frank, thank you for that question and making it about the reality of what's going on in the world right now. Like I said, our entire economy has been hijacked by all of these billionaires. And so we first and foremost have to get them out so that they stop buying our politicians to continue making policy where they get to inflate everything. Because that's what everything's come down to. All of these rich people superficially inflate the costs, the value of things, of land, of housing, of food, of healthcare. They superficially inflate it so that it makes their stock portfolios seem like it's more.
So how will you bring the prices down?
We have to control that. We have to control speculation. We have to create better laws so that these billionaires can't have so much, just do whatever they want with all of our tax money. Ooh, and that's another thing. All of our tax money that just gets put into contracts for all these people, and they overinflate it too. So for example, in San Antonio, why do we have such terrible traffic? It's because a lot of the traffic contractors are crony friends with the government. And so they just get never-ending contracts, and they don't have to do a good job. They can take a really long time. They inflate the contract tremendously. So there's a lot of public money that ultimately inflates our economy, too. And so we have to get a hold on that.
All right, another caller. Let's go to Matt. And Matt, you're on the air with Maureen Galindo.
Hi, Marie. Yeah, I'm a college student and voter in the district. And I was wondering if you have yet to condemn the GOP PAC that spent over $300,000 to support your campaign.
All right, Matt, thank you for that question. Is that number right? That seems high.
I have no idea. I'm not. I have nothing to do with any of it. I literally don't know. And like I said, like, I'm not running this whole operative campaign where I've got people in D.C. and people over here telling me. It's like me and my friends running a campaign. I just get screenshots sometimes of that. Last night I heard Johnny say a number. I'm not involved in any of it. And what do I do about it, apparently? I feel really violated that this group is sending stuff out about me without me knowing anything about it. I can't approve any of that stuff. And I think it says on it that they had no contact with me. And who even, like, I don't know if it's Republican. Like I said, I don't trust the media. They could just say that. Yeah, if it's Republican, I condemn it. I condemn whoever is sending out flyers and ads on my behalf without getting my consent for it. It's annoying, but I don't know what to do about it. I didn't know that this weird dark money stuff existed in politics.
Right. So let me just clarify. So they didn't ask you, hey, Maureen, do you want this money? And then you said, yeah, give it to me.
No.
They just went ahead and they started printing up these flyers and they put it out there.
Yes.
And they're doing these mailers in your name. And that's what happens with these dark money PACs. And they're supposed to act independently from people. But they are promoting your candidacy because they think that you would be easier to beat in the general election.
And that's what the media is saying, though. That's the thing. Nobody has evidence that this is a Republican PAC. That's just like punch bowl media put that out or something.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, sometimes when people think this person will be easier to beat in the general election, sometimes those predictions backfire. But why do you think that they feel that way?
I literally can't tell you how much I don't think about it because I don't think it's real. Like, I don't know where that money came from. There could be 1,000 different sources. One media site is speculating about it and everybody else just ran off with it. I think that I absolutely have the best chance at winning. And so, yeah, it would definitely fail if that was their agenda.
Let's go. I think we have one quick call. Jessica, we're short on time. So go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Maureen. Are you claiming that higher domestic violent rate is a correlation to the Latino men because of their colonized mindset? Or how do you feel as a white woman, like comfortable saying that, you know, the district is a majority Latino? How do you expect to win the majority Latino district with that kind of comment? I'm just curious.
All right, Jessica, thank you for the call. You have about a minute to respond.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that, Jessica. And I absolutely don't mean any harm with it. And I think that, honestly, a lot of Latinas and Latinos would agree with me. And that's not me saying it like as a white woman because I'm totally disconnected from it. I actually understand the issue extremely intimately and deal with it on a regular basis. So no, I'm not saying it's because they're Mexican that they're domestic violence. I'm saying because of the colonizer violence, that's what's created a violent mentality that we have to address, and that's fair to want to address that for the future of San Antonio.
Okay, I've got about 30 seconds here. I just want you to give your message really quickly. I want to give a positive message. I don't want to end on that note. Say something.
Thank you. Just that I think people can trust that I would be the type of politician to say exactly what I mean, and all of these politicians who just say the words and we're so sick of watching them not follow through, that's never going to be me.
All right, Maureen Galindo. She is in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for the 35th Congressional District. Previous half hour, we heard from Johnny Garcia, the other candidate. And the runoff day is Tuesday, May 26th. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.